Let's turn together to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 35, page 95, if you're following in the Pew Bibles. Exodus 35, and we're going to come in at verse 30, and then leading on into chapter 36, up to verse 7. So this is the Word of God. Then Moses said to the Israelites, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic craftsmanship. And he has given both him and Oholiab, son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as craftsmen, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, and weavers, all of them master craftsmen and designers. So Bezalel, Oholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of constructing the sanctuary are to do the work just as the Lord has commanded." Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled craftsmen who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left their work and said to Moses, "The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done." Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp: "No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work. And we end our reading at verse 7. May God bless his word to us today. We've come to the fourth and final part of our little series called Get in Shape. Nothing to do with physically getting into shape, although that's always good, but it's about getting into shape in terms of our giftedness, in terms of our willingness to serve. We have taken May as our ministry month, and we've been looking at the third of the four M's that we often speak about. We move from membership to maturity to ministry to mission. And we are concentrating on ministry. Now, this is not just a Heikert thing. This is a Bible thing. This is what it means to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to be a disciple. If we are obedient disciples, well, then we will grow in maturity, we will get into ministry, and we will be involved in mission wherever the Lord has placed us. You may remember that key verse we began the series with from Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12, where Paul says this: "The Lord gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ might be built up." Again in 1 Peter 4 and 10, which I read earlier, Peter says, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others." So this is what we're about today. This is what we've been about this month. It's about finding out what are the gifts, what are the resources that God has given to each of us as individuals, to discovering those and to saying, where can God use me to build up his church here? Now, so far we've seen in the previous 3 weeks, we've followed through this this word shape. The S is for spiritual gifting. And a few weeks ago I gave you in the bulletin the little insert which mentioned 22, 23 spiritual gifts that we have in the Bible. And I hope that you've kept it. I hope that you will refer to it from time to time and prayerfully read through that and ask yourself, "Lord, where have you gifted me? Bible says that once we become a Christian, God gives us the Holy Spirit, and with the Holy Spirit, part of the package, as it were, is at least one gift. Sometimes he might give you two or three gifts, related gifts, a gift mix that helps you to serve. But if you're a Christian, if you're a son or daughter of God, you have been given a spiritual gift. You should find it and use it and put it into work. Now then, in our second week, we looked at the H, and the H stood for heart. I can preach and preach and preach on gifts, but at the end of the day, you need to have the heart for service. You need to have the passion. You need to say, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to give to you because of all that you have done for me. And so Stevie took us through having a heart, having a passion, and there'll be certain ministries and areas of ministry that you will be drawn to. You'll be naturally drawn to and say, look, that resonates with me. And other areas you'll not have a heart for. But there should be something, an area that you have a heart, a passion to serve. And then last week, Richard took us through the two extra layers of this, A for abilities and P for personality. You have a natural ability or abilities that God has given to you. You have things that God has gifted you with that you can use to serve this church and to serve others. And of course, you have a personality. You have a personality that can relate to other personalities in this church. Each one of us is unique. God has made you as a unique individual with a unique personality. You are you. God has made you to be that way. Don't try and be somebody else. God made you and then he threw away the mold. You are unique. You have a unique personality and God wants to use you and bless you and gift you for use in the church in which he places you. Now, there is a difference between a natural ability and a spiritual gift, and we've already seen this. But they are both from God. And sometimes God can use our natural abilities as the channel through which he uses the spiritual gift. For example, you could have been born with a natural singing voice, and God will use that as the channel for the gift of creative communication. Or you may be like Bezalel, who we read about here in Exodus chapter 35, who was a craftsman. He was good with his hands. He was a joiner. He could also work with precious stones. And God used those gifts, and he blessed them, and he used the Holy Spirit to bless what he had given to him naturally. If you look with me to verse 31 of chapter 35, Moses says of Bezalel, the Lord has filled him with the Spirit of God. There's the spiritual gifting. He has filled him with skill and ability. There's the natural abilities. And knowledge in all kinds of crafts. And there's the E that we're going to speak about today, which is experience. This is the fourth and final bit of this that we're looking at. The experience that Bezalel had, the knowledge in all kinds of crafts over the years. He was able to bring this knowledge as they were building the tabernacle, as they were building the sanctuary. All that skill, all that gifting, all that knowledge, it was a total package. And when God calls us to serve, he takes all of our life experiences to date and he says, that's who you are. I want you to use all those experiences to serve me in the place in which I have put you. Sometimes people ask me out of curiosity how long it takes me to put together a sermon. I suppose they want to check that I'm working and how much that time that takes. And I can answer it in two ways. The very straightforward way to answer is to say, well, from initially thinking of the theme, thinking through the passage, doing the extra reading and the preparation and the putting in, writing it, it takes between 8 and 9 hours to do a sermon of 25 minutes or 30 minutes. It's always taken me that time. 20 years ago, it took me that time. It still takes me that time. Another way I could answer that question, if someone is to ask me, how long does it take to write a sermon? I could tell you it takes 50 plus years. Because all of my experience, all of my knowledge, all of my skill, all my relationships, all those things go into a sermon, just the same as whenever you are in your job. Maybe you have an important decision to make or a choice to make. You bring everything to bear on that choice, on that decision, on that course or direction in which you're going. You cannot isolate off like little silos, different aspects of your gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, your experience. It's all a total package. It's what God has made you to be. And you bring that experience to bear. Someone once said that experience is a hard teacher. And it is, but it's also a very good teacher. Because experience teaches us so much. It can be good experience or it can be bad experience. But there is nothing wasted of our experience in God's economy. He can use it all and will use it all if we allow him to. So as you think over your life, there are five main areas of experience that form you and shape you. And we're just going to spend a moment or two thinking about them. The five areas are these. First of all, there's the personal area. There are personal achievements that you have. Secondly, there are vocational achievements, things that you've achieved in your work or your career. Thirdly, there's relational achievements in your family, in your friendships, and so on. Fourthly, there's educational experience and achievements. And fifthly, spiritual experiences. And as we think through these different five areas, you have much to bring to each one of them. Whenever you're applying for a job, you usually put together a CV or an application form. And on that application form, you're thinking through all of your experience. You think, what can I bring to this job? How can I impress my employer? Hopefully, you don't think up of things that you haven't actually achieved, but you'll put as many things as possible that are relevant to the job, to the career, to what you can bring personally, vocationally, relationally, educationally, and spiritually. You bring these things. For example, on a personal achievement, it could be anything at all. It could be a 100 meters swimming certificate from when you were young. It could be that time when you remember climbing Slieve Donard and it taught you perseverance as you reached the pinnacle of the mountain. It could be a word processing course that you are proud of or as an achievement. Anything. Personally, we have personal achievements that we can bring to bear. Or vocationally, in terms of different work experiences that you have, you can bring these things to bear. I began my working life in a shoe shop. I began to learn how to sell shoes to people. I learned a lot working in a shoe shop. I learned how difficult customers could be, but they're always right. I learned how competitive it is to be in business today. I learned about the long, hard work, the hard hours that retailers work in business to make it happen. I learned how to handle money. I learned how to speak to people as a teenager. All these things are my experience, which I bring to bear. Later on in life, as you know, I became a lawyer, and some of that experience as a solicitor I bring to bear in my role as a minister. Vocationally, you have different life experiences of things that you have done or dabbled in. It's all that richness. Don't forget it. Use it. It helps you to be the person that you are. Relationally, think of the friends you have. What makes a good friendship? Things that you have learnt from others. Educationally, think about the exams you have passed, the training you've received, the skills that you've been taught formally and informally. All these things are useful. And then spiritually, look over your faith journey. The places where you have learned about God, the places where you have learned about yourself, and how you've grown and matured. And when it comes to serving in the church, all of these things are relevant. It's the total package that God wants to use. But of course, as we think through these five areas, yes, we can think about the positives, but there are also negatives. There's pain in each of these five areas. There's areas of personal pain, vocational pain, relational pain, educational pain, exams you've failed, spiritual pain. And yet God takes these positive and the painful experiences and he uses them most of all to shape us into service. Nothing, I say this again, nothing is wasted in God's economy. Max Lucado says that sometimes God brings us through a storm when we're 30 years old so that we can be better equipped to face a hurricane when we're 50 years old. God is always shaping us, putting us in the crucible, changing us, molding us for the future, growing us into the person that he wants us to be. As people who make up the body of Jesus Christ, we can help each other with the vast variety of experiences that we go through. My experiences will be different from your experiences, but that means that some of you will have an experience that will be able to help somebody else and bring comfort to somebody else who is walking through that particular time of decision-making or that particular problem. We run a ministry called Grief Share, and it's a ministry which helps those who have been bereaved maybe for many years. And Anne has a team of people around her who have been through bereavement, so therefore they can help someone else much better than I could. They can help someone else who's going through that. Or we have another ministry called Rebuilders, which is a ministry to those who have been through a broken marriage. Again, there are people there who have been through that experience, and they can bring that experience to bear, and they can say to someone, I know what it's like to have walked this way. I can help you through this experience. And I see a major role of the staff, myself and the staff, is to understand the different people in the congregation, the different experiences that they've been through. And to say, oh, I know somebody else who has been through that. I would like you to talk to so-and-so because I feel you could really help them. There's a vast resource of experience in this church, and much of it goes untapped and unmined. And it should be there, and we should be helping each other pastorally. We should be turning our crises into a catalyst to help people and to build up the church of Jesus. This is why we read that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul says, who has been through a lot, he says, the God of all comfort comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received. Paul says, I've been through so much, but you know, I've received the comfort of God in this. And now, through my experience, I'm able to help the wider church through my experiences. With the comfort that I've received, it now overflows in my life to others. We have a Savior in heaven today who has scars. We have a Savior in heaven today who has wounds on his body because he has been there. He knows what we go through. He empathizes with us. He was tempted, the Bible says, in every way that we are tempted. Yet he was without sin. And Jesus draws near to us. He pours his comfort and his spirit into us. And he says, now as I have poured my comfort into you, I want you to use that to bless someone else. Our experiences, both our positive experiences and our negative experiences, can be used to bless the church. This is the way God wants it to work, both the positive and the negative. So can I encourage you? I'm not asking you to fill in a CV, but can I encourage you as you think through where you might be best used in the church? Do an inventory. Think of your personal experience, your vocational experience, all the relationships that have impacted you over the years, the education, the spiritual stuff. Put it all together and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Use the skills, the abilities, the talents, the perspectives that you have given me. There's nobody else like you. You are unique, and God has a place for you to serve him. Last week, I was meeting with the Girls Brigade leaders, and we were doing a review of the year, and we were asking, how can we as the church help the Girls Brigade? Prior to that, we had talked to the Boys Brigade. And one of the things the ladies said was, well, we need more helpers, and we need people especially who can offer a skill to enable the girls to get their badge work done. So, for example, if someone has a cooking skill or can do flower arranging or hair cutting or first aid or basic car maintenance, they come in and just for 5 or 6 weeks they share that skill and they teach the girls, and it enables them to get a badge. Quite simple, really. 5, 6 weeks in the year. So as you look at that little bulletin insert and you see that they're looking for helpers, that's the sort of thing they're looking for. Again, for BB, GB, someone who will man the car park during the evening that it's on. Very simple. It's not that skilled. It just needs a bit of time. Many of these jobs we can do. Or Anne was saying to me last week, it would be great if we had a little list of drivers, people who can drive a car, who may be retired, have got time in their hands. Quite often we have people to take to a hospital, and their relatives aren't able to take them, and so we say, wouldn't it be great if we could call up someone, are you free for a couple of hours to take someone to Antrim Area Hospital and bring them back again? It's as simple as that. It would make such a difference. These are the ways in which we serve the church. We are a church full of Bezalels, people with crafts, with trades, people who are good with their hands, and they could be of use in the wider church. I want us to get our bulletins out, just to look again at this insert of service opportunities, just in our last few minutes together. What we've done here is we have put on many current areas in which people could serve. It's not all of them, but it's most of them. And so what you have in the insert are the four main ministry areas of worship and prayer, youth and family, one mission, and pastoral and discipleship. And then on the back page, we have some subcommittees under the congregational committee. We see the communications subcommittee is looking for some skills there. The finance subcommittee is looking for people who can count the offering. And the hospitality subcommittee is looking for people to help with catering. Now, I've added up all the numbers on this sheet, and it comes to around 200 serving opportunities. Now, that seems a little bit overwhelming, doesn't it? But some of these serving opportunities are literally one Sunday in the year. One Sunday in the year to do the car park. One Sunday in the year to help serve tea and coffee. One Sunday in the year maybe to lift the offering, or maybe 4 Sundays in the year. It's not a huge commitment. Some of these break down into quite small units. I know that there are people who are serving in a number of different capacities. Some of you are serving in maybe 2, 3, 4 different roles. Today is not necessarily about putting a guilt trip on you. It's about trying to ease your burden. And it would be great if in the church every single person had a job. Every single person doing at least one major thing and then maybe other minor roles in the rotas that cover a few Sundays a year. That would be our vision. That would be our ideal. And yet, sadly, what we find, as in many other churches, a small group of people who are doing so much and a larger group of people who are doing so little. And so today I want to encourage those of you who don't have a job to do something, to think of starting today. Although there are 200 jobs there, we are a big church. We have something like 1,800 people on our roll. We have 800 communicant members. Not all these jobs are for communicants. I mean, people who are not communicants can do many of them. We have the highest active communicant role in the Presbyterian Church. But that doesn't say an awful lot. To be an active communicant basically means that you come to communion at least once a year, you contribute to the freewill offering, and you have a pulse. I mean, that's about it. It's not a high standard. As far as I'm concerned, an active communicant is one who is engaged, who takes ownership, who is doing something, not just passively sitting on a Sunday, taking, and giving nothing. Now, I know there's a number of folk in this congregation, and you, for whatever reason, have decided that you do not want to serve, and that's not good. You are disobeying the Lord. You are not reaching your full potential or anything like it. And some of you might say, well, look, I'm old. You know, I don't have a lot of energy. Andrew Dixon was telling us in staff of someone he knows in a church in Lisburn who serves in the youth club, and she's 93. You know, age really doesn't come into it. We have an awful lot of fit, retired people. Think about what you could do. Think of a few hours that you could offer to help even in driving someone to hospital or collecting someone. There's many things that we can do very, very easily if only we would think and offer. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had the same reaction as Moses had whenever Bezalel and Oholiab and many others were bringing their offerings and bringing their talents, and they were bringing them to God? And in chapter 36 of Exodus, they come to Moses and say, the people, in verse 5, the people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done. And so Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp: no man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. The people were restrained from bringing more because they were full. They had everything that they need and more. Now, that's not the case with us. We, without thinking about it too deeply, have found up to 200 places where people could usefully be employed in the church and usefully used. And it would be wonderful if in a couple of weeks' time, the ministry leaders and the organization leaders came to me and said, Norman, we've been inundated with requests for help. We don't need any more helpers. How wonderful that would be. I suspect, because I'm a realist, that is not going to be the case. What we're going to do is, over this Sunday and next Sunday, we've got some tables in the foyer, and we have got staff and lead elders and organization leaders behind each of those four main ministry areas and the committee. And we're asking you to come, even if you're interested in finding out more, come and talk to someone and say, look, BB helper, how many hours, what are you looking for there? Or even put your name down and say, would someone contact me over the next fortnight? Here's my email. Get in touch. Share a little bit more of what it means to be involved in a certain ministry. And so we've got tables out in the foyer and at the information desk. Please do take a minute or two. And we're going to stop a little bit earlier to facilitate this. Please do take a minute or two to just look at those, check through this bulletin paper, and say, Lord, where could you be leading me? Where have you gifted me? Where is my heart leading me to? Where's my abilities and personality and experience? Lord, where can I be used? And we'll have folks there again next Sunday morning, same place, still looking. If you want to take this week to pray it over, to think it over, we'll be back here again next week. And we'll be asking for those who are doing little or nothing to sign up to find out more. You see, you don't have to answer to me. It's not me or the Kirk session you're answering to. It's to Jesus. He's the one that you will answer to, because he's given you these gifts. And he says, what did you do with my gift? Did you use it? Did you sit on it? Did you bury it? What did you do with it? You'll have to answer to Jesus, not to me. What did you do with the gift or gifts that he gave to you specifically to bless and to serve and to equip the church? So take this, read it, prayerfully think it through, and it would be lovely if if we had many people coming and saying, I'm interested in finding out how I can be used. Even something simple. Everyone can offer something. It says, the Lord has filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God, with skill, with ability, with knowledge in all kinds of crafts. And he has filled you too. So please use it or lose it.